Rashi says, actually, the Gemara in Zvachim, Kufta Zayin Amad Aleph, says, Ma Shmua Shomo Vovin is Gaya. So there's a three-way machlekes there. One says Matan Torah, one says Kriyas Yamsuf, and one says Muhammad Samali. So the one that says Matan Torah maintains that Yisra was on an intellectual, it was an intellectual influence that really drew him, that drew him to Klal Yisrael. That was what brought him there. That's what Mashmur Shomo Vo. Why did he come? What made him come? And it came was the intellectuality. That's what he saw. Chochmas Hashem. The Gemara brings in Zvachim, the Gemara brings down by when they came in. Why does he say Kriyas Yamsuf? He says, Shenema. It says, Vaf, the Gemara says, Vaf, Rachav Azoino, Amra, Leshluche Yeshua. Kishamanu, Esa, Shehavish, Adashem, Esme Yamsuf. Maish Nahas. Okay, so the Gemara's like this. And then it says, Lakama Aid Ruch Bish. Why does it say Lakama Aid Ruch Bish? Gemara says, Afilu Akshu Yinami Lo Akshu. They couldn't even have an erection. The Umos Olam. And Gemara says, Umina Yada. How did she know Rachav Azoino? Dama Mar, In Lacha Kol Sarv Nugget, Shilay Baal, Rachav Azoino. There wasn't any Sarah Nogger that didn't have intercourse with Rachel Azaina, and she saw suddenly that they were impotent. Chazal, an unbelievable thing. You see that Chazal maintained that the male cannot perform sexually if his ego is depleted. Interesting, Chazal. I said because the reason is because what happens is that the because apparently, in order for the male to perform, he has to identify with the father, say psychologically. And over here, by Kriyas Yamsuf, Sakharash Baruch Hu showed that the what bothered the Goyim really? What bothered them? Bothered them was the favoritism that God has shown to the Jews. They took them out of Egypt. You see, and these are his people. See, so it's like a sibling rivalry type of situation. So they were vanquished. You know what I mean? They felt totally defeated. They were defeated, emotionally defeated. Emotionally defeated person can't perform sexually. Chazal says it's an interesting thing. It was a total defeat. Now, the thing is like this. So according to that pshat, that was the emotion that affected Yisrael. Mashmu Hashem Ova. That's what Chazal say. See, Kriyas Yamsuf. It wasn't intellectuality, it was that emotion that got him. They saw the, that's why the Gemara brings down, because the Gemara over there says, that why do I maintain, alright, the one that says was Mechanes HaMalek, well, the Gemara says, of course, it's Petzido, it's right before it says Mechanes HaMalek, Yishma Yisra, so it makes sense. But why did he say it's Kriyas Yamsuf? Where's get Kriyas Yamsuf? The Gemara says, because of the case by, Rachav Azayin over there. So it means, the Gemara means it's the same emotion. It's the same emotion. This pshat, Yisrael was not on the same level. It means he was motivated by the psychological God. Do you know what I mean? According to his Matan Torah, means it was totally on an intellectual level. If it was this, because he wanted to be the part of the group that is favored by the divine force. You see, that's not on the same level as Matan Torah, the intellectual level. It's an emotional thing. It's an emotional thing. Okay. Mohammed Samalek. What is Mohammed Samalek? First of all, it's not such a big deal. I mean, compared to Kriyas Yamsuf, I can compare the miracle of Mohammed Samalek. Battle, okay, even if you say that the odds were against them and the Jews fought very heroically, whatever, but alright, the Moshe Rabbeinu's hands are up. But, think, well, but that's not a nest like Kriyas Yamsuf. I can compare it. Can't even compare it to any of these moments, right? So what's the chat? What is Mohammed Samalek really? Mechamas HaMolek, the Pasuk says, Ki Yod Al Keis Ka, Mechamal HaRashem Ba'Molek, Midor Dor. It means like this, really. Mechamas HaMolek wasn't Stam Mechamah. It was a breakdown of two different groups. See, two different categories of people in the world. There are those, Mechamal HaRashem Ba'Molek, Ki Yod Al Keis Ka. It means there are those people who represent the who Makadosh and Shemayim, and there are those who are bent on destroying the Kedushas Hashem. See? Actually, the phenomena, it's an internal phenomena, psychological phenomena. There are two groups of people in the world. Some people partake of both prototypes. You know what I mean? It's not just a molek, it's not an exclusive thing. In the need of a molek, molek's needs can exist even in the Israel, see? But predominantly the ummah doesn't have it, as an ummah, doesn't have it. So Yisrael saw one thing. He saw that there is a divine force here in history that actually distinguishes between these two groups. You see, between these two groups. That there's the group that's out to destroy the God, so to speak, you know what I mean? And there's the group that tries to be Mekadosh, attempts to Mekadosh Hashem. These two groups are at war with each other, and the world is broken up historically into these two groups. You see? So when Yisrael saw that, it motivated him to become a part of Klal Yisrael. Attraction is justice. It's an appeal to justice. You see? He saw that that God isn't just an abstract existence, abstracted from the world, but actually there's a historical implementation, and that the world is divided into these two groups. That's Muhammad al-Hashem al-Malik. And therefore he said that I want to, if that's the case, that's the way reality is, that's the historical reality, then I want to belong to that group. As Mekadosh Shir Shemayim.
Does he have a desire?
Yeah, the desire, yeah. Because he recognized the will of God as expressed historically in this nation. You know what I mean? You see? Therefore, saw that God's will is to break up the world historically into these two groups. Then he realized that he wants to be part of the group, this group, Klal Yisrael. See, otherwise he doesn't care. He wasn't overcome by the emotion of the favoritism. He doesn't care. It's a favorite nation. So what? But now he sees that there's a historical implementation of two different groups. Then he realized that justice, his love of justice and love of God demanded he should join that group. It's God's will that that group should exist, so I'll help that group exist. You see? Yeah. Over here it's love of justice. Right. Love of justice. Once he recognized that God's will extends to justice in this world, you see, then if God's will is there, then I also want to be part of that. You see, it's a recognition of the reality of human justice, the fact that God's will extends to this to the people. Otherwise, human justice could be just my own. What's the importance of human justice? It's just a practical thing. You see, yeah. But it's more than a practical thing. God takes recognition of this. So that actually endows it with a reality. Once that reality exists, he recognizes that reality, he wants to be part of it. You understand what I mean? Three Ramachlekes is like this, really. Three possibilities. Why he joined the Klal Yisrael. One is the intellectual. The other one was the emotional. See, those two possibilities. And the third one was because of justice. The Machlekes of Chazal runs the gamut. There's no other possibility. It only shows that God wanted to take them out, he wanted to save them. That's all. Yeah, but not that there's the setting, that there's that. What do they represent? Actually, Melchemes HaMolek was really what Klal Yisrael represented. It showed what their historical significance. The fact that he took them out of Mitzrayim, he likes them, he feels bad they were oppressed, he takes them out and he saves them. That's all. But who says that they're set up for a certain historical destiny and that the world's divided between two types of people? That was only from Muhammad Samalik actually established that. Not Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Mentioned there's a Raya Shakar Chabaderach. What was the whole purpose over there? To cool down the whole effect of the, that's what they were intent on doing. See? The intent was to destroy it. See? Not all case come. Muhammad Hashem Amalek Midadar. So the Chazal says, the Ramban quotes the Chazal, Chenam Medrash Rabbah. Kol atera kula tliya b'mishpat. L'chein nasan ha-kodesh baruch hu dinin acha asaras ha-debais. Interesting, interesting chazal. Most religions, the main thing is prayer, supplication, rituals, right? That's the mainstream of the religion. And over here, after this Aseret Dibros, doesn't say anything about putting on film, about tzitzis, nothing. Davening, nothing. Just ve'elam ha'shpatam ha'shatas mufneyam. Making this observation said, kol ha'tera kula tliya b'mishpat. L'chein nasan ha'kadosh baruch hu dinin achar Aseret Dibros. What does it mean, kol ha'tera kula tliya b'mishpat? Kol ha'tera kula tliya b'mishpat. Everything in the Torah is mishpat. What do you mean? If I sit and learn, it's mishpat. It was after what was called Tarkul of mishpat. Yes, so what is mishpat?
Rational law.
Well, I would say on the contrary, that mishpat is not really, the whole Torah is not talib mishpat. On the contrary, mishpat is something which is necessary in society. Necessary in society in order that the society can exist properly. That's only a means. But the main idea of the Torah is not mishpat. The main idea of the Torah, I say, is Avas Hashem, perfection, to reach the level of Avas Hashem. So why wasn't it called Torah with mishpat? But mishpat is a necessary means. Only that if you don't have a society, so you can't have the Torah. So it's tliya b'mishpat means it depends upon it. Depends upon mishpat. Without the society, you can't have the system of the Torah. That's true. But the terror isn't just a sociological phenomena. It's an individual phenomena also. So in terms of an individual phenomena, where does mishpat come in that it's so important? Really, the truth of the matter is, why did mishpatim come after Aseret Dibros? Aseret Dibros is Kabbalah's terror. The thing is like this, that a person, see, essentially what a person, you notice the Nevi'im criticized Klal Yisrael, or gave Musa to Klal Yisrael, the Nevi'im gave the biggest Musa is in the Navi. You don't have to go to any Musa's farm. Biggest Musa Sefer is the Navi himself. It's the first Musa, the original Musa. Now, why what did the Navi criticize about Klal Yisrael? They criticized it in the They didn't daven enough. They criticized them. They didn't want the kind of mitzvahs enough. Not really. Two things you find in the criticism of the Navi. One is avodah zarah, and the other one is a lack of mishpat. Lack of mishpat. See? All the Nevi'im. That's the basic criticism. See, these two things. Nothing else. All right, it's true. Yom Yom talks about Shabbos. They put their wares into the marketplace in Shabbos. Sure, yeah, but that's an isolated one place in Yom Yom. But basically, all Nevi'im all discuss the corruption, the internal corruption. You see? The greed of man. Because basically that's where the emotions are. See? That's where the emotions are. What is the most propelling, motivating force in man? It's his desire for power, money and power. And they both go together, they're both the same, see? That's the basic desire. A person will daven every day for this, be very happy to make a bargain with God, do all the rituals in order to get this. But what he really wants, look at the world, and what do they want in the world? What are they after? Be the executive of a big corporation, be a very respected business entrepreneur. That's the ideal. What's the ideal? Money and power. Now, therefore, this is the basic underlying desire of man, is greed. It's greed. That's why you say on Tfilas Nila, you say, Laman Nechdal Me'eshek Yedeno. See why? That's the only Avera. Nechdal Me'eshek Yedeno. The answer is, because that's the basic drive of man. That's his basic drive. It's for the self. For the self. That's where the instincts are working. Now, so the thing is like this. That That's why the Navi always speaks about Mishpat. Because what is Mishpat really? Mishpat is a person could be from, very from, and can be for the purpose of his own materialistic gain. Because it's basically all that's from Kaya doesn't mean anything. Because all that's from Kaya is only a means to achieve what everybody else is after. He's no different, really. The only thing is that he has certain protective measures, certain protective devices that he uses in order to ensure and to guarantee his success. You see? But basically, there's no difference in the man. So all the rituals, all the performances that he does really come under this one big emotion. You see? On the contrary. He's machalel the yadus, because he uses it as a means. Why is it that they find so many situations where they find religious people who are corrupt, involved in embezzlement and different things? Everybody goes, oh, how could it be? No big kasha. Very simple, because it's very natural. Because the person believes that with his religiosity, he has a close relationship with God. God loves him better than anybody else, and of course God wants him to have everything. So that's why he has a license, he has a matir for his greed and for his, and everything that works out. It's basher, it's wonderful, see? Very nice. So it basically, the man is the same individual. He's no different than any other person. He hasn't really changed. On the contrary, he's utilizing Yadis for his own corruption. He's a corrupt individual. That's what the Navi. Why isn't the Navi complaining about religion? Because people put on phones, no big deal. The Davins, no big deal. So Davins, so what? Navi wasn't upset about that. Navi was upset about the internal corruption. The value. What was the value? The value was the value was money and power. That was the value. That was the value system then, that's the value system today, and that's the way it is. Okay. Now, so what do you have? What is the antidote to this? What is the one thing that goes against this inherent drive in man? The one thing that goes against this inherent drive is Mishpat. You see? Because what is Mishpat? Mishpat is a recognition of an objective system which you have to succumb to. There you cannot say that the person is doing this in order that God should reward him. You see, with materialism. Because he has to renounce the materialism. See, insofar as the other performances are concerned, the person is willing to get involved in the other performances in order to have materialism. You see? But when it comes to renouncing the materialism itself, then he's going to fall short. You see? Mishpat is the only... ritualistic performances will not help him. Mishpat is the only situation which will remove him from that emotion. Because what is Mishpat? Mishpat is a recognition of an objective system of which he forms a small part. See, with others. It's a recognition of a system. That's Mishpat. That's that recognition. Kol ha-tera kula tluya la-mishpat. That recognition is what is the basis of Yadis. Without that recognition, a person cannot achieve any type of perfection. It's impossible. You can do ritual, you can do anything. We'll do all the mitzvahs. That doesn't mean anything. If he doesn't have that recognition, then everything he does can only be, explained as a means. Can be actually a means in order to achieve his materialistic goals and desires. But recognition of Mishpat, that's where he recognizes that there is a limit. He sets a goal, a limit to his materialistic desires, and he has to recognize another individual. He has a right also. I cannot be overcome by my greed. So the world doesn't exist just for me. It's not just for me. It doesn't exist just for my own selfish satisfaction. But there's a system here. And with that system, through that system, really, he recognizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because who is the author of this system? It's God. So he recognizes that he forms a small part in this system which God actually created and wants to be enacted. You see? That's Ve'la Mishpatim. Ve'la Mishpatim Ashatasim Othneim. That's why Mishpat comes first. That's what Chazal say. There's a Gemara in Daf Lamed Amud Aleph from Bava Kamma. The Gemara says, Omar Rav Yehuda, Haiman de boy le mehave chasido, person wants to be a chassid, mekayim milah d'nezikin. Mekayim milah d'nezikin. Why should he be mekayim milah d'nezikin? Because nezikin means, nezikin is a recognition of the fact that there's a system, there's an external reality of which you form a small part. So the Russia to the Russia, all external reality is only a means for the satisfaction of his own ambitions. That's what the external reality is. Tzaddik has to recognize just the reverse, that there's an external reality of which I form a very small part. That's the reality. Without that recognition, there is no yadis. Recognition of the reality of an external system. That's what it is. That's what Mishpat is. Without that recognition, everything a person does is just worthless. There's a difference. Therein lies the difference between a person, a regular person in the world, and a person who is an abider by Yadis, a person who lives by Yadis. Yadis demands one thing, that he give up all his fantasies of conquest and all his ambitions, because they're all based on fantasy. It's not real. So it's a failure to recognize the reality of an objective world over here. That's what Yadis is. An incident that occurred where somebody wanted to arrange a crooked deal so that they could stay in learning. The main thing is learning. I pointed out to them they should ask for Moshe the Rav. So the response was such that I recognized from the response that, like, this is an area which we don't ask Shabbos. I mean, like, you want to be super honest over here. Why? Because honesty is not associated or identified with religiosity. See, honesty, what do you mean? Just plain honesty. On the contrary, religiosity is where a person gets around these things so they could be learning. You know what I mean? That's the main thing, is to be learning. What's the answer? What does this show? This shows a total corruption in the concept of learning. Because to this individual, the concept of learning is nothing more than the satisfaction of a personal ambition. That's all it is. See? Just like another person wants to be a great executive, a big company, or a great millionaire, or a great surgeon, whatever it is, this person wants to be a great Talmud Chacham. But there's no difference, really. Same ambition. That's why these other things, the mishpat, gets in the way. On the contrary, the whole purpose of my religiosity is to be that great individual. That's the purpose. So now I'm going to stop because I can't do to the government. I mean, I can't cancel a few dollars from the government. It doesn't make any sense. You see? Justice means justice is diametrically opposed, because justice says, on the contrary, your big ambitions are not important over there. There's a bigger system than you, system outside of you. And if you're not such a big Talmud Chacham, so you won't be such a big Talmud Chacham. You'll live and you'll die, you'll be a little less Talmud Chacham. The world won't make a difference to the world. You see? So, but a person can't think that way. Why? Because the center is the self. You know what I mean? The tremendous... What do you mean? I mean, his fantasies are unbelievable. Right? To recognize that he's just a small part of this external reality, and it's nice, you learn a little more, you learn a little less. I mean, it's not going to make any difference in terms of the history of the world. It won't make any difference. Certainly not in terms of the universe. But the thing is that the person's egocentricity doesn't allow him to perceive this. You see? And the religion is a fantastic tool for his egocentricity. So there's a total corruption existing over here in the mitzvahs. That's where the great corruption is. Buried inside the mitzvahs is the corruption. His whole performance is really a corrupt one. With his religion and everything. It's absolutely... There's no difference between him and any... And a crazy executive. See? That's why Chazal say that Kol HaTorah Kula Tlui B'Mishpat. It's a different Torah. It's a different performance. And that's why the Navi relegates himself to the corruption. That's where it's at. The other system of contract. From Kedis, the swindle from the government. Did he smart or outsmart the other guy for our own purpose? Anyone that thinks that the person who is from like that is any different than any other ambitious fellow... He's making a mistake. Maybe he's not making a mistake. There is a difference. He's more corrupt. You see? He's more corrupt. Yeah, because he can assuage his conscience with the fact that he's with God, and that God is also very happy at his, with his shenanigans. You see? Yeah, this, and that's why in order to avert that danger, so God said, "Ve'ela mishpatim asher tasu mifneihem," after the Kabbalah of Mitzvahs, Kabbalah of Torah. Don't start off with davening, don't start off with tzum, don't start off with tzitzis. Ve'ela mishpatim. Recognition of the objective reality. breakdown of the personal, the enlargement of the personal ego and the ambition and the self-centeredness, you see? That's the Elam HaShpatim. Why does it start off with, Eved Ivri? So the Eben Ezra says, because Ein Lodom Ba'olam Yeser Kashalav Mi Yeser B'Shus Adam Kamayo. There's nothing worse in the world for a person than being under the dominion of another person just like him. What is the Eben Ezra saying? What's the Eben Ezra explaining? What's it? It's like this, that the greatest justice exists where the greatest harm could possibly exist. Is that by the Eved Ivri, he's in a situation where he may be suffering the greatest possible harm. That's the most difficult thing for him to do. So therefore the Torah demands that you recognize his emotions over here, you see, and that you treat him justly, you see. Now the situation is such that it requires the implementation of justice to the greatest degree, because the greatest personal harm can occur if justice will not be implemented. Right? The greatest possible harm to the person, to the personality. Right? That actually there's two types of justice. There's an overt justice, where you can see. I mean, two people come to court. So therefore, I mean, you have to treat them equally, right? That's everybody can recognize. But there's another kind of justice which depends upon the particular situation of the individual. You see, that kind of justice we tend to overlook, because as long as we don't identify with that individual, you see, so we're not really concerned about the particulars that he's involved with. So therefore, an eved is an individual who we don't identify with. The person usually doesn't identify himself as an eved. Of course, like the Eben Ezra says, the worst, the most painful thing is for a person to be in such a situation. So really, a person doesn't identify with an eved. So therefore, a person ordinarily would not be sensitive to the situation and the trials and tribulations and the sufferings of an eved, because he doesn't identify with the eved, you see? So therefore, he would tend to overlook the justice with regard to the eved. He would overlook the justice because he would overlook the what is involved in the situation. See? What? But justice demands that we don't function with through the process of identification. But justice demands that we function according to an objective reality, an objective recognition. Now, once you make this recognition, even though you don't identify with this person, you must recognize that he is in a situation where he's very fragile, he's very susceptible. You see, so you might not identify with that, but justice demands that you treat him in terms of the situation that he finds himself. And on the contrary, any violation over here will be a very great and major violation. You cannot measure the violation by its overt content. You must measure the violation by the situation of the eved, you see, and without the process of identification, it's a very difficult thing to do. But justice demands that you operate and you function according to the recognition and the understanding, and not according to identification. That's really what eved. That's what eved ivri is, according to the Eben Ezra. Forms of justice, even though they recognize a system, but there still is a type of identification, which also is related to the self. But Eved Ivri doesn't have that. Eved Ivri is, there's no identification. The person, on the contrary, since it's the most horrible situation for a person to find himself in, he will never really consider himself to be in that situation. And therefore he will not identify with the Eved, and will not even see the suffering that the Eved, the situation of the Eved. And therefore, he will not act justly. There's no motivation for him to act justly. The only thing that causes him to act justly is the pure recognition of the concept of justice. And that's why Eved Ivri is first. That's what the Eben Ezra says. Let me say another reason also. You see, the thing is like this. that when when does a person really feel power? What is power? When does a person feel power? He feels power when other people respond to his whims and his desires. That's really what the feeling of power is. I was just reading recently that what is the enjoyment of the great executive? He loves the fact that when he snaps his fingers, people jump. Tremendous importance. Tremendous importance. That's the thing. That's the enjoyment. That's the enjoyment of all. Now, which situation really lends itself more to that type of expression than Evid Ivri? I mean, that's the Evid Ivri. That's the highest possible level where the person is an Evid. I mean, he doesn't just respond because he wants to keep his job. He's a status. His status demands. He has a Chal Hashem. His status demands that he's. That's a state. The state of response. You see? That's where the person feels the sense of power the most. And to recognize that there are external controls. This isn't yours. This power is not yours. There are external regulations here. This man isn't under your power. He has nothing to do with the enhancement of your ego. It's not a reality. But the reality is that there's a certain situation here, a financial situation. You're no better than he is. And there's certain limitations. This you can do. It's an arrangement. It's nothing more than an arrangement. A situation in which you have certain regulations. It removes the entire emotion of the power. You see? That's why Evid Ivri is first. Another possibility why Evid Ivri is first. Right. Chazal say, why is Ritzia in the Ozen? Because it says, Ozen Shishom al Har Sinai, Kli Bnei Yisrael Avadim. So that ear that heard on Sinai, Kli Bnei Yisrael Avadim, that ear should be pierced. You know, to show that it's not really, it's not complete. It's not really listening to what to the words on Sinai, right? So the Maharsho asks a good kasha. So if that's the case, for every averi, you should pierce a person's ear. Because Ezra Shoshom al Har Sinai, every all the mitzvah given on Har Sinai. There's an interesting Rambam. The Rambam says, what's that? It's Yechia. Rambam Bavasha. So the Rambam says that, a person, you know, the Rambam Shita is, that you're not allowed to sit and learn and take money from people. That's Ram Shita. Okay. But let's say somebody wants to support you. I mean, that, there's no issa. No issa. Somebody, yeah, you're not making a profession out of it. Ram was upset because you make a profession out of teaching. Talmud Torah. But Yisachar and Zvulun, that's fine. It's a different story. You're not making a profession out of it. You're not demanding of people that give you money. You have a person that wants to support you to learn, so he's making a deal with you. You learn, and he'll share with you. The Ram says, but the real Hasidim, he says, would not even do that. He says they would not even accept money that way. He says, but they were Boteach Bashem, and they would do their work, whatever work it was, and they were Boteach Bashem. That's what the Ram says. That's the highest level. Sayyidina Matan Sikhya. The pshat is that what is really the purpose of the Torah? See? The purpose, here it is, that is, the whole purpose of Yadus is for a person, basic idea is like this, what's the purpose of Yadus really? See, when a person in his early youth has certain relationships that with his parents, you see, and there's a certain dependency. Now the purpose of Yadus is for a person to re-relate, to re-establish, recreate all those infantile emotions, to use them, to revise them, so that they should be in relationship to God, you see, and in relationship to the ultimate reality. That's total maturity, see. Now, if a person, where is the area that this is expressed most of all? in the area of dependency. See? He's dependent upon his parents. Now, if a person cannot overcome that early stage of dependency and relate to ultimate reality and to the ultimate reality, which is God, you see, but he always remains in that emotional state, then he's forfeited his relationship with God. You see? That's where the purpose of the Torah is, for a person to overcome the primitive early parts of life that relate to his parents. You see? And to be able to relate to reality and the ultimate reality, which is God. So a person who wants to depend on somebody else for a living is a person who never really overcame that early dependency and is seeking to continue that dependent situation. You see? That's why the Rambam says Hasidim did not want to do that. They didn't want to rely on that. Because if they did, they were afraid they'd fall prey to that emotion. See? That's why they wouldn't do it. That's why they took a panasa and they were boiteach bashem. It means they related to the ultimate reality. Now an eved is a person who really, if he wants to remain an eved, it's possible he's an eved because he's in a bad situation. Or he's nimka because he's gneva, you see? It's a temporary situation, nothing wrong. But if he wants to prolong, he wants to exist in that type of relationship, in that type of situation, that shows you that he never overcame the early emotions, the early primitive emotions. He can't refine them, and he can't grow out of his early emotions and redirect the energy towards the ultimate reality. He can't do that. So therefore, he always has like a. He always needs these images to give him security. The parental images are necessary for him to give him security. And he can't break out of that state, the infantile state. You see, he can't break out of that state. He wants to continue that state. So that's the pshat. That's what Gemara says. Li b'nei Yisrael avodim means that the purpose of the whole Torah is for a person to be able to break out of the infantile state. Well, he doesn't need people. He doesn't need these images to give him the security. And the security is only in the ultimate reality, which is God. You see? So a person who can't break away from those fantasies, from those images, that person requires Ritzia. What does the Ritzia show? The Ritzia shows that his relationship to God is always incomplete. It wouldn't be for any mitzvah, for any avera that the person violated. It's only where the person can't reach the objective of the Torah. Can't reach the objective of the Torah. That's where it's is. In the case of a person like avera zara simply is a corruption. Yeah, just a corruption. It's not ritzia. Ritzia means that there's something lacking. In his shmi on Hasinai. Avodah Zarah would mean that he breaks the whole relationship to God. That's not there wouldn't be any Ritzia. It's Chayav Misa. But the Ritzia demonstrates that he didn't complete the goal. He didn't reach the final stage of maturity. That's what maturity really is in Yadis. What is maturity in Yadis? Where the person relates directly to God. That's why Al Tiftachu and Divim Yisrael B'Tach Bar Hashem, all the psukim in Tehillim, why are all those psukim trying to bring out? So what does the Torah say? That because he had to stay there for another 2 years. Why? Because what was wrong? He did a politically intelligent move. And the pshat is, apparently in that maneuver was a certain dependency. Yosef was a youngster when he was taken away from his father. He missed his father. He was very close to his father. And you see, even by the Averos, the most Yifmei Shalavim stopped him. So you see that relationship was there. He was looking for a parental image to give him security. By the Sarah Mashkin, he found that parental situation arose again. Because here's somebody that's going to save him. You see? An elder statesman, a very important man in the government. The important man in the government, Paras government. So that emotion arose again. See? So he put his faith in that person. Why? Because that's when he, because Yosef spent two more years in the prison, he broke away from that attachment also. So he broke away from that attachment. So the security came from his relationship to reality. That's the he reached maturity. Finally reached maturity. In the state of Eved, the person who wants to be in a state of Eved is the person who cannot reach maturity. He always requires parental images and parental figures to give him the security. That's the shot. That's what it's in. See, in the personal security is the most basic emotion, because that's what the infant relies on the parent. It starts off in life. The infant relies on the parent for his sustenance. And the greatest fear of the child is to be abandoned by the parent. That's the greatest. That's the greatest fear.
Yeah,
that's the greatest fear. So that's why Apostle Tzion says, "Hashlech al Hashem Yehovah." Throw your bundle on God, and He will support you. What does it mean? Hashlech al Hashem Yehovah. It means graduate from the low level where you are concerned about the need of people. You're just looking for people to support you. You see? Hashlech al Hashem Yehovah. He will support you. So you reach reality. Reach out into reality. Live in the world of reality. And then you'll find perfection. Actually, what happens is, When the person has tremendous insecurity, the person therefore desires the power and the money, because then he gains his security via becoming the father. Via the father, he becomes the father. You see, and that's why he gains his security, and others are dependent on him. So actually, you see that there's two emotions over here. There's the emotion of the two. Actually, they both come from the same source, but they're two sides to one coin. One is the emotion of the Adon, you see, which must be under control by Mishpat, and the second is the emotion of the Eved. He, on the contrary, he never can reach that level of becoming the father. So he always remains the insecure child, you see. So that also must be regulated by Mishpat. So really, the situation of Eved Ivri is two sides to one source, but two expressions. To this one situation, one emotional situation. I just want to mention, with regard to what we said before, that it's misunderstood that we're underestimating learning. And so, for instance, the person who thinks that learning is going to change the world, you know? The point is like this, that what we're showing is that the value of learning is very great, but the value of learning is resides in the relationship between the person that learns and the and the learning. See, the way he relates to the learning, that's where the value is, because that's where the perfection is. But just learning, if a person learns out of egocentricity, that's not really beneficial to the person. You see, Chazal say the person who studies Torah in order to be able to break somebody down, Lamed Lakanta. And Gemara says in Mutav Shei Nepach Shel Yosapav, better they should never have been born. Gemara says, and he says, learning, such learning is worthless. So he says, not learning is not a magical potion over here. Gemara says that learning, once about learning, the santan is the varayela. Gemara says, zocha, the person who is fortunate, nasalo samchayim. So the learning becomes like a samchayim, a potion of life. See, lo zocha, if he was unfortunate, nasalo sammovitz, it destroys him, it eats him up. See. Why? Because the learning can become like a disease. It can be like a disease. It's something which he utilizes for his own egocentricity, and he finds himself in the same situation as the crazy tyrant or somebody else, and then another crazy type of person. So the benefit isn't from the learning itself. The benefit is from a certain relationship that exists between the person and the learning situation. You know what I mean? That's the benefit. Okay? The accomplishment in learning. So Gemara says, brachas. What do you worry about? He says, what do you worry about? You know? But the reason why they learned, why they were constantly in learning, was because there's nothing else to do here. This is the only thing that's of value. You know what I mean? But because of the performance, you see, but not because some end goal in mind. Just one more point with regard to the idea of Ritzia that we mentioned is that the just to crystallize it a little better, that Ritzia is done only because of a philosophical failure, not because of halachic failure. Okay? That's why that answers the Marsha's kasha. Marsha said every avera person should have Ritzia. Now, Ritzia is where there's a philosophical imperfection, not where there's halachic imperfection. Okay. We're doing, we did a little chumash today. Parshas Nasai. Hey, Yud. Ishas Kadashav Lo Yiyu. Ishas Sheyitin Lakoyin Lo Yiyah. So, first of all, with a shot in the pasuk itself, a lochic shot in the pasuk. So, there's Ramban on it. What it means is, Ishas Kadashav Lo Yiyu means that the, like, Maisa Sheni, Maisa Behema, is not the revise, so it belongs to him. It means he has Chusim Amen. And then Ishas Sheyitin Lakoyin Lo Yiyah means that he has Tevas Anoa with regard to the Kayan. So he said, what is the halacha over here? The first we clarify, we have to care about Tevas Anoa. What's the pshat? Does he have Tevas Anoa because there is no specific Kayan that's identifiable as a Baal Chayiv, or it's a separate schus that the Torah is Mezakeh the Israel with Tevas Anoa? So we decided that it's a separate schus. Lo Yiyah. Lo Yiyah means a separate schus. But anyway, that was it first. Then we said, what's the pshat in the pasuk? How's the pasuk related? How's the pasuk? What are the two parts of the pasuk? So we say like this: the two parts of the pasuk that the halach is that one is that hegdish is not mafkiyas chusim amen. Hegdish is not mafkiyas chusim amen. That's number one. And two, there's two halachas in hegdish. One halach in hegdish is mamen hegdish. One halach in hegdish is kedushas hegdish. So kedushas hegdish is not mafkiyas mamen, and even chusim mamen of hegdish are not mafkiyas the chusay Yisrael. Are not mafkiyas the chusay Yisrael because the Yisrael still has a chus mamen in the hegdish, even though the shevet has a chusay mamen. You see, so the Momoin Shevet is not Mafkiya, the Schusa Yisrael. So that's the common denominator of the Pasuk, that the Schusa Yisrael are not Mufka, al Yedei Hekdish. Neither are they Momoin Hekdish or are they Kedushas Hekdish. Okay. Now we took a few Chazalia. One Chazal is Yish, Kadosh Lo Yiyu, Mishim Akav Masreis, Veinu Neisn Lo Yiyu, Lo Yiyu HaMaisreis, Seif Shein Sadeyu Oise Ela Echad Me'eser, Shreis Lomud Lassas, that's Pasuk Yud. So at the end is he'll only have 1/10. The second, there's another, something else occurs to him. Unfortunate. Yud Beis. It says, Vishus Kadosh Lo Yematom Akev Matnos Chakoin Chayecho Shetetztarach Lova Wetzlo Lohavi Lo Asasota. Right? Oh, so it seems that there are two onshim for the same thing. I mean, what is it, well, why are the two onshim here? Alright, so we said like this. We said that there's two flaws over here in this individual. It doesn't give Maaser. The first flaw is that the person doesn't identify with the poor Kayan. He doesn't recognize his needs because he doesn't identify with them. And that's because he feels he's inferior. I mean, he feels that he's wealthy and he's inferior. He lives on 1/10 of what the Kayan does. What the Nisan does. So the Einish is Mida Kenega Mida. That the Einish is that the tables will be turned, and therefore through his Anias he'll identify with the Kayan. That's one thing. He doesn't recognize anybody outside of himself. He doesn't recognize the Kayan's needs. But there's something else here. He doesn't recognize the institution of Kahuna. Yeah, it's not exactly a tenth. Yeah, if a tenth means it's because he's an Ani. Yeah, I have to give him a tenth, so he's right. You think that he's a Shnara. Okay. Now, so the thing is, so that's one thing. But the second thing is, the second point is that you don't recognize the institution of Kohen. That's the second thing. He doesn't recognize the importance of the institution, because why does the Kohen and the Levi, why do they really deserve this? Why do you have to support them? Because that's the most important institution of Klal Yisrael. But this person doesn't recognize the institution. If you recognize the institution, you support it. You see? So it says, Chayecho, Shetetztarech Lovo Etzel Lovi Esasota. That you will eventually, if you're fortunate and God is good to you and He gives you an Einish, so then you'll be able. You'll have to bring your wife with a sota to the Kohen, and then you'll have to recognize the importance of Kohen. He can't recognize the importance of Kohen per se, because the essence of Kohen is Talmud Torah. V'asal HaKohen Shiyah B'Yom Mahem. But if you don't recognize it essentially, then you'll recognize it. God will bring you to recognize it. Through an accidental importance, And coming to the Kohen, of course, when it comes to the Kohen, Nishtei Seita is a total achnoah and total recognition of the institution of Kohen. All right. So he has to subjugate himself. Here he looks down at the Kohen. In the end, he himself is subordinated to the Kohen. Subordinated to the Kohen in a way which is far worse than having a financial subordination. A subordination is one in which he simply can't live a proper life. I mean, his whole life is torn apart. His whole house is broken up. And here he has to come to the Kohen to help him help him rebuild his house. See? So then he recognizes the importance of the Kohen. Okay. Next is like this. Kisista ishto eina menafin noafin macha dekhanis bohen ruach shtas. Tetsiv kisista tetsiv bo noaf tetsiv bo and about him it says noaf ishto chasabay. Okay, so what's the pshat? What does it mean eina menafin noafin macha dekhanis bohen ruach shtas? It means like this. That a person, what Chazal tell me is like this, that a person thinks that the reason why these two people got together was because of their mutual attraction. That's what it was. So Chazal say no, it's not the mutual attraction. It's ruach shtus. Ruach shtus means that there's a prerequisite psychological condition. What is the prerequisite psychological condition? It's ruach shtus. And what is the ruach shtus? I said like this. The ruach shtus is that the person becomes convinced that the blame for his unhappiness or her unhappiness is to be placed on the lack of an external situation. In other words, the reason why they're unhappy is because of the lack in the external world. So they're missing something from the external world rather than the lack in the internal world. Once a person is convinced that the reason why they're unhappy is because they're missing something in the external world, then the situation is ripe, is set for niyuf. Then the attraction comes in and then the person actually grabs onto the attraction, not because of the attraction itself, but because of the conviction that this is going to really help them make them happy. You see, that's the ruach shtus. So if a person didn't have this philosophy, or if a person was happy, then they would never do this. It's true, they might sense attraction, but they would never get involved with niyah. Because basically it's chasalev, I mean, the instruction is very great. Somebody asked me a question about the Gemara of Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Meir, the Gemara condition that they saw the Sutton or like an Isha and they crossed the river, climbed the tree in order to reach the Sutton. So say, there's no Rosh Tos over there. But that's a separate thing over there. That was a separate thing over there. Over there, the idea was they were so far advanced in terms of how to live properly that they couldn't understand how a person was a Maslitz very very. They couldn't understand how a person could be involved with physical desire. You see, so because they channeled all their energy into knowledge, and they to them it was the most enjoyable life, the most satisfied. They couldn't perceive anyone could be so foolish not to live like this. Fine, but the thing that was wrong was they didn't recognize that they had the potential also. See, there was a breach in identification with other people because they didn't recognize that they had the potential because they were so far away from that type of life. So that's why they had a separate einish that they came to recognize it. So that was day derech neis or maifes or separate ashgacha. But this is speaking in the normal way. So there's no shachas to that. They definitely weren't rosh tos. Okay. Gemara is in daf pei aleph. Rabbi Meir Mesleitzis Bergavera Yemachad Idmi Leisotin Ki Itzah Bach Gisid Nor Lehavim Mavra. There was no ferry going across. Nokat Mitzra Vakova Kimot Paga Mitzra Shafke Amay Lav the Kamach Zibaki Is Orma Remeva Teresa Shavis Lidmach Tati Me. I'd make you work 2 cents. Yeah. So the thing is that that's the incident. Pay off and all. But what Chazal is telling you here is that it's not as it appears to the eye. A person would think that the reason why they got involved in the niyuf was simply because the situation is the cause. Chazal say, no, it's not the situation that was the cause. What was the cause is the psychological state of mind, which was the prerequisite upon which the situation acted. You see? That's the Chiddush of Chazal. Okay. Now, the last point we took was the Gemara says, it's Chazal, Rashi, Vav Beis. So the question is that usually Chazal tell you to take precautions when a person senses the taiva, not when he sees the downfall of the taiva. Over here he sees the downfall of the taiva, so why does he have to go take precautions? Right? So he said like this, that koloroa soto bekulkula, it means like this, a person sees the destruction of the taiva, so therefore he might feel that the fact that he has seen the destruction of the taiva is a guarantee that now he'll never fall into the taiva. They say no. You could never, this is something which a person would be mistaken to assume that he can control this directly. He says, now I see the downfall, I see the destruction, so I have to be careful, it shouldn't happen to me. Now, if you want to make sure it doesn't happen to you, you better be Yaz Asman Yayin. You have to remove the situation that will lead to it. And the situation that leads to it is a CS Yayin. CS Yayin means where the person loses his seriousness, you see. He loses the seriousness of mind, a certain state of mind he loses. Yayin removes a certain state of mind. Once that state of mind is removed, he should know that he's subject to the same destruction that he has witnessed. You see.
Okay.
Now the only question is: so somebody asked, "Why do you have to say haroa sotu bekula?" I mean, anyone who knows this should do. What's haroa? The answer is no. Haroa means, why is this person here watching the sota, observing the sota? The answer is like this: because he is led there by his own curiosity. Because he himself has this desire. It's like this light Lot's wife that she turned around to see what happened to his dom. She turned around because she identified with them. She wanted to see what happens to such a person. Because she felt that it's a part of her, own life. So here also means like that. That's what it means. Because really Chazal say that if a person's maz asmani yain is nikra chayte, so you can't say that every person who has the knowledge of a kilkul site that shouldn't drink wine. Because it's a chayte. Chayte means you're not allowed to do it. So it means there, raya seita bakula means, If his curiosity has led him to that situation, where his raya seita b'kukula, then it means he senses the desire in himself. So then he should recognize this principle that he cannot possibly approach this desire directly and negate it. Well, the only way he could deal with it is to remove the situation that leads to it.
Okay,
this is in line with the other chazal of ruch shtus. But the yayin is it's like this. The yayin is the prerequisite for the ruach shtus. It goes in three stages. First is yayin, a certain looseness about reality. You see? Now, and then after that, he starts the ruach shtus enters. You see? Because his mind doesn't know what's about him. His ruach shtus enters, and certain convictions take place, take hold in his soul. And once these convictions take place, then all he needs is the situation. It's three steps, really. And I say even more, that yayin itself is basically an escape from reality. And a person who involves himself in yayin shows, by the very involvement and the reinforcement of this involvement, he shows which way he deals with reality. Does he deal with it by really making the changes necessary in himself for reality, or he attempts to evade reality? The Shias Yayin itself is really the Haskalah of the Ruach Shtus.